According to the lectionary reading, this Sunday's gospel reading would only chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, which is very familiar story of the Jesus and the Zacchaeus, the tax collector. But I extended a little bit further, starting from chapter 18, 31, and we could see three different texts, different stories. But I found that there are some commonness, which is we would experience some obstacles in hindrance from moving towards to God in our faith journey. So I'll touch a bit before I unpack this whole passage and focus on the very last one, the third in the passage of very familiar story. So that's the bit of introduction. But before I go, let us pray. Loving God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help me to speak and us to hear your living word. On your people, pour your power and grant that each one of us may be touched and moved in the way you want us to go. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's gospel reading, there are a few stories of encounters that Jesus had with the people as he prepares to go up to Jerusalem. In the first part of the reading, we can find that Jesus speaks a third time about his death to his disciples. In the second, a blind beggar receives his sight by Jesus. And then in the third, Jesus encounters with Zacchaeus, the tax collector. In these three stories, we can find some obstacles that are hindered people from moving forward in their faith journey. For instance, in the first part, Jesus explains how he will mocked, ridiculed, and excluded before rising on the third day. Yet, the disciples don't understand. They do not get what Jesus is saying. They cannot see the big picture, because they are focusing rather on the excitement of the present moment than in the understanding of what will be happening to Jesus. However, as we know the whole gospel, later they recognize what's happening to Jesus when they are filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit. In the second part, a blind beggar is excluded as a result of his lack of sight. In the story, in contrast to the people's curious looks, the blind beggar grasps who Jesus is, and one keep quiet at proclaiming him Son of David. He seeks sight in Jesus and truth to his word. Immediately, he is included and becomes one of Jesus' followers. His life is transformed. He is saved. Compare this to the blindness of rich man in the story of the rich man and Lazarus we studied a few weeks ago, whose eyesight was perfect, but who couldn't see the need of Lazarus, who is beggar lying at his front door. Then comes another encounter with a man who knows exclusion from his community as a result of his role in the community as chief tax collector. Zacchaeus experiences of obstacles because of division between himself as a tax collector and the people of Jericho who do not trust him whether they have good reason or not. Zacchaeus was not just an assistant, but he, as chief tax collector, has responsibility for others in the town who collected the taxes under the rule of the Roman Empire. They placed a huge burden on people's lives, inevitably raised corruption amongst those who administrated it. Whether Zacchaeus was part of that corruption or not, we don't know. But what is not in doubt is that Zacchaeus was not liked by the community. They hated that hospitality was shared between Jesus and Zacchaeus. We do not know how they responded to the display of free grace that is expressed in our text. But it is clear to us as readers that this kind of generosity is part of the way of the kingdom of God. To confirm Zacchaeus' inclusion, Jesus declares him a true son of Abraham. Wealth doesn't have to be an excluding factor to full participation in the kingdom of God. Neither does what others think of you. What matters is who you are and what you do in Christ. For this transformation for Zacchaeus is not just one in his own life. It is about the community that knows transformation and reconciliation. Now let us go a little deeper into the story of Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus. The day that Jesus came to town, Luke tells us there was a huge crowd gathered to greet him. Maybe part of the appeal this story has for children comes from the experience of being behind a bunch of grown-ups at a parade, unable to see any of the action over the heads of the adults. Since Zacchaeus was short and couldn't see over the heads of the people, and since he knew that the people were not about to let him get in front of them so he could see, Zacchaeus ran ahead to climb a sycamore tree to get a better view of the parade. Some years ago, I think it was almost 8-9 years ago, I went to a pilgrim tour in Israel. And I saw this sycamore tree. You know, there is an ancient sycamore tree still standing in Jericho, surrounded by a fence and presumed to be the very tree from which Jesus called Zacchaeus. Now, every tour bus is stopped there for people to take a photo. So I took this photo, I think, in Jericho. I think pretty sure this is my photo, not from the Google. Did you ever wonder why seeing Jesus was so important to Zacchaeus? Why Zacchaeus would go to all that trouble just to catch a glimpse of Jesus as he passed by? Was he just curious? Or did he have some secret longings that he hoped Jesus would fulfill? Did he wonder, can Jesus really do the things I have heard about, like opening the eyes of the blind and making the lame walk? Or is he really as good a preacher as everybody says? Could there have been some other reasons why Zacchaeus was up a tree other than the fact that he was short? In fact, that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. When Jesus came along with his followers, he looked up in the sycamore tree and saw Zacchaeus hovering on a branch. Now we don't know how Jesus knew his name, but Luke says that Jesus didn't say, "Hey, you little guy, just come on down from the tree there." But Jesus called Zacchaeus by name and said, "Zacchaeus, come down right now and let's go have some lunch at your house." Why is Jesus attracted to Zacchaeus? At the very beginning of the story, right up front, Luke tells us that Zacchaeus is not only the chief tax collector, but he is also rich. And we know that Luke doesn't have too many nice things to say about the rich people. We know that. They are the ones, according to Luke, who are sent away empty. The ones less likely to enter into the kingdom of heaven than a camel is likely to squeeze through the eye of a needle. But Luke tells us that for some reason, Jesus is taken with Zacchaeus. Look at the way Jesus plays with Zacchaeus. I can almost see the smile on Jesus' face as he stands under that sycamore tree and looking off through the leaves and maybe calling Zacchaeus' name out playfully. Oh, Zacchaeus! Zacchaeus, I know you are up there. I can see you. Hurry up. Come down. Zacchaeus might have come pretty close to falling out of that tree when Jesus called his name and told him to come down. Surely, he never expected this to happen. Jesus himself calling him down from the tree and going home with him. Who would have thought it would happen? Zacchaeus felt the warmth, the love, the acceptance, the forgiveness. And he was so touched in that moment that his whole life was changed. He was turned completely around. Zacchaeus was thrilled. The town people were not. There he goes again off to have lunch with another sinner. Zacchaeus came down from the tree, took Jesus home with him, and then confessed his wrongdoing to Jesus. He didn't hold anything back. He told it all. And then he makes a promise to Jesus by saying, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Isn't that wonderful? At this point, I want to introduce different interpretation about this passage. See other version here. It says, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." What did you find from this? To compare two different translations. Here, Zacchaeus claims others' judgment about him by pointing out that he already gives half of what he owns to the poor. And he already repays four times anyone he discovers has been cheated. Both Greek verbs are in the present tense. I give and I restore, and not a future tense as is usually assumed by us. And since there is no mention here of any special repentance at the time of this encounter, so we must assume that Zacchaeus is already practicing this kind of compensatory behavior. In fact, it is a healing story. More restoration of broken community relationship than repentance. Although the trouble is that the crowd doesn't believe him. Jesus apparently believes what he says. But does Jesus fall all over himself to congratulate Zacchaeus for his commitment to truth and justice? Well, not exactly. Do you remember the story Jesus told about that other tax collector in the temple? It was last Sunday's passage. You know, the one who stood as far away from the altar as he could get and prayed, he says, "God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner." And the other man in the story, the self-righteous Pharisee, stood as close to the front of the church as he could get without stepping into the pulpit and prayed, "Thank you, God, for making me better than everyone else, especially that tax collector over there." Remember, which one Jesus said went away justified in the eyes of God? Not the front one, the Pharisee, but the tax collector. Doesn't it seem to you that Zacchaeus is trying to change places with a Pharisee in that story? What he tries to say is, "Oh, Jesus, I'm really not a bad person. In spite of what everybody else might have told you, oh, I know, I have a reputation, but just look at what I've been practicing at work." But before Zacchaeus can finish his speech, nominating himself for Man of the Year in Jericho, Jesus interrupts, He says, "That's nice, Jack. Today salvation has come to this house because you also are a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Maybe at this point, Zacchaeus thought about his real situation. Jesus has brought Zacchaeus off his high perch of presumed goodness and put him back down to the only place where he can truly receive Jesus as one of the lost. In fact, what Jesus says is, if you don't know that you are lost, you don't need me. And that son of Abraham thing, it wasn't a compliment. Think about it. Who were the children of Abraham? They were Israel. All those wayward sinners who time after time turned their backs on God, proving that they were sinners in need of a Savior. Being a son of Abraham simply makes Zacchaeus just one more sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus came to eat with and drink with, to seek and to save the lost. If you are not lost, or you don't think you are lost, you don't know that you need Jesus Christ. You still need Him. You just don't know it. We may be forgiven, but we are all still sinners standing in the need of Jesus Christ, saved by the grace of God alone. Have you heard the news that Jesus is coming? Salvation can come today to your house and to mine, but not through any other means than the grace of God. Jesus himself calling Zacchaeus down from the tree and going home with him. Jesus himself calling us down from our own comfort zone, comfortable position and life, and walking with him. It was God's acceptance and love that enabled Zacchaeus to change. Jesus believed in him, and it absolutely changed his life. Naming Zacchaeus as the son of Abraham changes the crowd's perspective too. Christ's inclusive love can move us from selfishness to charity, grumbling to all, and a cast out to be called by name. It is not just Zacchaeus, but it is you and me. It is all of us. What a difference makes is to encounter with Jesus Christ who believes in us. To know that God believes in us, that can make all the difference. Knowing that God believes in us, we can believe in God and we can believe in ourselves, and we can experience a power that can absolutely change our lives. This is the grace, and this is the good news for you today. Amen.